First and foremost, welcome to this bite-sized webinar on force majeure and the emergence from lockdown. My name is John Smart, and I'm a partner heading up one of the commercial litigation teams here at Shoesmiths, with a particular focus on disputes surrounding distribution agreements.
And my name's Fiona Teague. I'm a partner in the commercial team. I deal with high-value commercial contracts and have recently been advising the C-suite on force majeure issues arising from COVID.
So today we're going to be looking at force majeure and the emergence from lockdown. In many ways, this webinar is intended as a natural update from an earlier webinar when we looked at force majeure and COVID-19 as the country entered into the lockdown phase. As all will now know, the UK government has announced the easing of lockdown restrictions in England and Wales, and indeed further easing of such measures now looks likely to be on the horizon. Our earlier webinar focused on force majeure events beginning and the associated legal issues that come into play there. This webinar instead focuses on the legal implications on lockdown ending, or at least beginning to be released. In particular, we'll be looking at whether the more relaxed government restrictions mean that performance of obligations must now be resumed, and if so, when, and to what extent. So in recent weeks, I've heard many lawyers paraphrasing the famous 1966 World Cup quotation in that they think it's all over. Fiona, I suppose that's as good a place as any to start. Is any force majeure relief now over, now that the government has announced the easing of lockdown restrictions?
Yeah, it would be nice to come back with a neat answer and say they think it's all over, it is now. But nothing with force majeure is that straightforward, as we've already established. To be clear, there is no automatic ending of a force majeure event just because the restrictions are now easing. And however, it does mean that it may be more likely that a force majeure event or protection under the force majeure provisions of a contract may no longer be there for a business to rely upon due to restrictions easing. But as ever with force majeure, it's a question of looking at the contract, the precise wording, and also the factual matrix in place right now as events unfold, because it's necessary to look at whether performance is possible for the purposes of the way the force majeure clause is actually drafted. Ask yourself, is performance under the contract prevented, hindered, delayed, as required by the clause itself? If it is still prevented, hindered and delayed in the way the clause anticipates, then it is very likely the force majeure event will continue the protection will remain in place. However, bear in mind that just because it costs more money to perform the contract, force majeure may not be there to rely upon. It may therefore, as restrictions ease, be possible to perform or begin to perform a contract, even if it is in a slightly different way and at a higher cost, and therefore expect some challenge potentially from counterparties now pushing back, saying that force majeure events have come to an end. Query, of course, was there a dispute in the first place as to whether or not a force majeure event was validly triggered? Were notices validly served? That's something we looked at previously. And if the force majeure event was validly triggered and the force majeure protection is in place, consider whether notice is required now that restrictions are easing, but a party considers that force majeure protection is still in place. Is there an update requirement? Does that have to be formally served by way of notice? And at a prescribed frequency or with prescribed contents, there are lots of potential tripwires in a contract that may mean you lose the protection of force majeure provisions. And also, of course, commercially, it makes sense for the parties to stay close to one another in any event by way of update in terms of when performance can be expected once again. And so I guess, John, it's worth considering, did performance stop in the first place?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And I suppose you've got to look there at whether or not the force majeure event the sole cause of any inability to perform. And I think it's something that you alluded to slightly earlier, but I think it merits repeating that to rely on force majeure relief, the event must be the sole cause of the interference with performance. Now, case law suggests that when there are a number of competing causes, it's not possible to rely on force majeure provisions. Now, of course, causation will be a question of fact in each case. But when we are looking at the release from lockdown, this is going to be much more risky for both customers and suppliers. For example, when the country was in the midst of a full lockdown and the government banned certain types of businesses operating entirely, many force majeure clauses were very clearly activated, either because of the pandemic or because of government regulation. However, with lockdown being released, theoretically, many businesses can begin working in either providing or indeed receiving services as the customer. Now, of course, many will not want to receive or provide the services given the difficulties that partial lockdown may cause. But this could very conceivably mean that you see arguments that a supplier is now choosing not to supply goods or services rather than truly being unable to do so due to either COVID-19 or government regulation.
And so, is it worth also considering whether the agreement has in fact terminated by virtue of the force majeure provision itself?
Yeah, and I think checking whether there remains a contract in place sounds rudimentary. However, with many offices shutting down and a very large proportion of the workforce working from home, you might be surprised by the volume of unprocessed legal correspondence that we're hearing clients are faced with. Now, to an extent, there's nothing you can do to protect against mislaid posts, but both parties should really check whether the agreement has terminated either automatically due to the length of the force majeure event itself, or upon service of a notice in accordance with any express rights to terminate. And I think, ultimately, we always have to remember that if an agreement has terminated and the parties wish to carry on dealing with one another, new terms will have to be agreed and, from a litigator's perspective, ideally formalised in writing. And I suppose that kind of leads us very neatly on. We've looked so far as the lockdown easing. The inevitable question may then be, what next?
Yeah, I mean, what next indeed? And before coming on to what next, it's probably worth also asking why should we care? And just to be clear, the reason you should care whether or not the force majeure provisions still offer protection is because if they don't, you are vulnerable to being sued for breach of contract for non-performance, either at all or to the required standard. And so it is necessary to, look at the force majeure provisions and the relief and whether or not it is still in place. And also to approach that exercise, not just legally, but also practically, to consider, well, what does the new normal look like, if you like, in terms of beginning to resume performance or not. Now, whether or not the force majeure clause is still in force and protection is available, it is still worth gearing up for performance, and indeed considering whether an alternative means of performance may be possible. I would always suggest prioritising your key customers and key suppliers in considering what is possible and in carrying out an evaluation. And again, bear in mind, it may well be possible to resume performance, but at a higher cost to your business. But the fact that it is at a higher cost and performance might look slightly different doesn't mean you will automatically get off the hook in terms of having relief available for performance any longer as restrictions ease. So examine your relationships, examine your obligations, and see to what extent your performance is now truly impacted going forward as the landscape factually has changed in terms of what your business is permitted to do. I would advise you to stay close to your key suppliers, because this will clearly impact upon your business's ability to perform its own obligations under contracts. Engage in discussions with key suppliers to understand the challenges they're facing in terms of liquidity, in terms of their own performance issues due to workforce shortages, due to either COVID illness or furlough schemes, raw material shortage, etc., that they may also be impacted by. And consider what mitigating steps to take and what that may look like in terms of supporting your suppliers. We're seeing customers, in particular in the automotive industry, supporting or buying out their suppliers or advancing cash, advancing payment in order to keep those suppliers going to ensure that the supply chain remains intact, essentially. And then managing workforce issues is an obvious one and will be looked at from an HR perspective, but can also have knock-on impact in terms of timing of performance. It may impact your own ability to hit KPIs under contracts. Even if performance is possible, the committed contractual timescales may not be. And that, as you said, may result in having to make agreed variations to contracts or face exposure to either performance-related penalties or more severe sanctions under a contract.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I think it's interesting what you were saying about that kind of minimising the effect on the business commercially. But I think you also need to be looking at minimising the impact on the business legally as well. I think, you know, we need to look at mitigating any loss, even if you are the party who is prevented from performing. And I think that becomes more key when we're emerging from lockdown than at any other time. Ultimately, a party seeking to rely on force majeure can only do so to the extent that they were genuinely unable to provide their contractual obligations. Now, this means as restrictions are lifted, suppliers must consider whether steps are being taken to resume service as soon as possible to mitigate against any adverse consequences of non-performance. And I think if steps are not taken, there's a very real risk that a court may hold force majeure relief is no longer available. Now, I suppose one way around this is to keep contemporaneous records of factual evidence to back up a party's claims that performance was not possible. And I suppose that dovetails into good practical advice more generally. Be prepared. You know, further peaks in COVID-19 infection rates are not only possible, but many will say very likely indeed. Restrictions may be reimposed either in the near future or periodically for years to come. Now, I think, unfortunately, clever commercial lawyers like Fiona will undoubtedly be looking at force majeure clauses more closely in the future. It may be that COVID-19 is not considered a force majeure event for the purposes of any future agreement. And I think on a more rudimentary level, businesses should be prepared and ensure that contingency plans are in place to mitigate any future adverse effects. Now, that's going to be particularly important where a contract requires business continuity plans, for example. And I think without those types of steps, it's going to be far less likely that parties will be able to rely on force majeure provisions.
Yeah, and I think it's a fair point to say we need to look at future-proofing contracts going forward. And that's not just contracts where performance is resumed again, where a force majeure clause has been triggered, but also looking at new contracts going forward. I mean, never again will us lawyers look at force majeure clauses as simply boilerplate, because that is just simply not the case. These clauses have been scrutinised over the last few months and will be going forward as disputes arise. And we surely have some lessons to learn. And it's important to remember that the true purpose of the force majeure clause, which is obviously a creature of contract under English law, it doesn't exist in English law otherwise, is to apportion risk between the parties at the outset, ideally, and for parties to consider factually what is likely to happen going forward in the event of unforeseen circumstances, and how they wish to apportion, as I say, the risk between them, which plays into price and other key commercial matters. In contract, which are being, if you like, resuscitated, where force majeure provisions have been in place, it's worth bearing in mind, as you say, that what would have been considered unforeseeable and therefore force majeure events previously may well not be now in the event of a second spike or future government restrictions, meaning the relief that was available in this first wave, if you like, may not be available going forwards, making it even more critical to either consider varying the contract formally between the parties, or at least commercially looking at what disaster recovery or risk allocation looks like going forward. And in the case of new contracts, definitely we will all be revisiting our force majeure wording to ensure that those clauses are future-proofed the best they can be. That said, we can look at redrawing the lines entirely, as I mentioned, not just in order to improve force majeure provisions under existing contracts, but it may be that commercially the whole landscape looks entirely different and both parties are looking at a bargain, an entirely different bargain than they anticipated at the outset of the contract. And it might be that commercially, in order to keep the commercial arrangements alive going forward and keep relationships going forward, that it might simply be necessary to vary the contract and reach new agreements around key terms. And in that case, I would urge you to enter into binding variations that reflect whatever the new commercial landscape looks like. And by that, I mean a formally executed legal agreement. And so, is there anything else we haven't covered here, John, that we ought to consider?
Well, I think one slightly left field consideration is that there's arguably a new kind of non-legal overlay that parties must consider when determining what steps to take. The UK government has issued so-called guidance on responsible contractual behaviour in the performance and enforcement of contracts impacted by COVID-19. Now, this government guidance calls for responsible and fair behaviour, in inverted commas, of parties in key areas, including responding to force majeure or frustration claims, and it almost takes a view of protecting jobs in the economy. Now, I think it needs to be highlighted that the government guidance is not law, but the government strongly encourages parties to take note of that sentiment. Now, my view is that legally it has no effect, and any court in England and Wales is very unlikely to give such guidance any material consideration. However, it is fair to say that reference to the responsible contractual behaviour guidance might be used as a commercial deterrent against those acting unreasonably when relying on force majeure in the future. And I think the second bit of government involvement that becomes material is the Corporate Insolvency and Governance Bill. And I suppose it has to be said that, we're still in that second and third reading stage in the House of Commons. We still haven't had it passed to the House of Lords yet, but it's due to become law around the beginning of July 2020. Now, because it's at such an early stage, it's important to stress that what appears in the summaries might still be subject to amendment. But if passed, this law will significantly restrict suppliers' ability to exit commercial agreements due to insolvency-related causes, and it seems restrict the ability to issue winding up proceedings for non-payment of invoices. Now, the aim of the bill is to maximize the chances of businesses surviving the pandemic. The bill has introduced draft rules that mean typically parties won't be able to rely on any termination provisions in their contract if the other party has entered into insolvency. Now, similarly, if a party has become insolvent due to COVID-19, it appears that a creditor will be unable to issue a statutory demand or a winding up petition. Now, previously, there's been some suggestion that this might only be offered to those in a landlord-tenant situation, However, the draft bill uses language far more broadly to suggest that this would apply to any party that has had its solvency impacted by COVID-19. And I suppose I've very much focused on problems rather than solutions, Fiona, turning instead to what people should be doing. What are your top tips as we kind of emerge from lockdown?
Yeah, well, I think it's a case of, as we said, take stock again, look factually at what circumstances have changed for your business and what is now possible in terms of performing. And it's a case of looking at each contract individually and the wording of each contract on a case by case basis, prioritizing the key contracts for your business, be that on the supply side or the customer side, and check what your obligations are. If force majeure provisions did provide relief, check whether the lifting of restrictions mean you can now, as a matter of fact, recommence performance in the way the contract anticipated, even if it means you have to do that differently and that it will cost you money. Otherwise, you run the risk of being sued for non-performance. Also, keep talking to your supply chain for the reasons we've mentioned previously. There are various reasons to keep talking to your supply chain and anticipate problems down the line and that may impact your own performance. Ensure notices and updates are being served on a timely basis and strictly in accordance with the agreement. It may be a condition of your force majeure protection that you are doing so, if that is in place. Review your workforce and check whether there are any implications going forward for performance due to furloughed employees, etc. And going forward, as you're entering into new contracts in this brave new world, make sure that you have revisited force majeure provisions and understand the risk allocation as between yourself and the counterparty or counterparties, so that should the COVID situation continue to impact your performance or impact your performance going forward, you are clear how you are going to allocate risk between yourselves. And that really is a bit of a whistle stop trot again through what to be looking at now as we emerge from lockdown in relation to force majeure. I'm sure that John and I would like to thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks. Thank you very much.